Extremism, scandals rip apart Democrat Party. Radicalism, racism, anti-Semitism. Sexism, socialism threaten left's return to power. By Matthew Boyle on February 12, 2019. It took them a little more than a month. Since Democrats took control of the U.S. House of Representatives, and Democrat Speaker Nancy Pelosi reclaimed the gavel for the first time in nearly a decade, the Democrat Party has been riding high. President Donald Trump lost the first round of the battle with Democrats over his planned border wall, ending the longest government shutdown in history a few weeks ago with no wall funding, despite a promise not to make such a concession. Pelosi, gloating, signed the three-week continuing resolution with eight different ceremonial pens and rubbed it in by framing herself as somehow equal to the president in terms of power, even though, constitutionally, practically, and by any other measure, the legislative office of the Speaker of the House is inferior to the executive office of the President of the United States. Meanwhile, Democrats throughout the party have been launching their presidential primary campaigns, vying for the shot at a one-on-one battle with Trump in the November 2020 general election in speeches, media tours, social media blitzes, and stunts filled with missives at the president and red political meat for the Democrat base. But the good times for Democrats have come to a screeching halt in the past few weeks. A raft of scandals involving racism, anti-Semitism, radicalism, allegations of sexual assault, and extreme views on a variety of issues has hit the Democrat Party hard as it slinks back into the limelight after a two-year period of GOP control of all levers of government in Washington and most state governments across the country. These hurdles threaten the Democrat Party's chances at a return to national power in 2020. With its rising stars and key players throughout the federal and state governments tangled in a web of problems that could cost Democrats the White House in 2 years and more, deeply hurt the party in down-ticket races while tearing down fragile coalitions assembled by Democrat leaders desperate to put a check on Trump. The scandals are far-reaching and affect the highest levels of the party. The policy developments on everything from environmental issues to life to immigration are equally profound and deep-seated in the Democrat Party. How its leaders handle all of this will determine much in the way of whether voters will give Democrats a chance in the next presidential election and, perhaps more importantly in the meantime, affect their ability to be part of the governing conversation in Washington or govern states like Virginia, where the entire party leadership is embroiled in scandal. The infant would be kept comfortable. The Democrat Party's streak of bad luck started in late January when Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, in the wake of the introduction of a late-term abortion bill from Democrat delegate Kathy Tran that would allow abortions as late into pregnancy as when a mother is going into labor, advocated for infanticide. In an interview with DOP, the Democrat governor said, "This is why decisions such as this should be made by providers, physicians, and the mothers and fathers that are involved. When we talk about third trimester abortions, these are done with the consent of obviously the mother, with the consent of the physician, more than one physician, by the way, and it's done in cases where there may be severe deformities. There may be a fetus that's non-viable." Northam, who was a doctor before running for office, added that even if a baby is born alive, he or she would be kept comfortable until doctors and the mother decide whether to keep it alive, essentially offering up the choice to murder the child after he or she has been born. "If a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was really blown out of proportion. We want the government not to be involved in these types of decisions." Northam's extreme views on killing babies after they are born coincided with the New York legislature and Democrat Governor Andrew Cuomo putting in place a new law in the state that guarantees a fundamental right to abortion. The radical law enshrines a right to an abortion through the third trimester of pregnancy up to and including during the giving of birth, among other extreme provisions. Cuomo has come under serious fire from all sides for backing it, and he took to the pages of the New York Times to write an op-ed defending himself, claiming he was an altar boy growing up and that his duty is to enforce the law, not his personal beliefs. The legislation, which passed the House last Congress on a bipartisan basis, would afford various legal and health protections to babies born alive after failed abortions, including requiring them to be taken to a hospital and given medical care by health professionals. Republicans, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy and other top House GOP officials confirmed to Breitbart News. Intend to seek unanimous consent to force a vote on the bill every day that the House is in session until Pelosi relents. For now, Pelosi through her designated floor officials. Other Democrats who are supporting her on this has blocked the effort four times and is expected to continue to do so. Republicans are prepared to go all year if necessary. What the Democrats have done is taken this radically callous position toward life. McCarthy said in an exclusive interview with Breitbart News Saturday on Sirius XM 125 The Patriot Channel this weekend. The president spoke about this trying to give voice to the voiceless in the State of the Union address. I thought he did a terrific job. But when you look at what the Democrats have done in New York and now in Virginia, talking about infanticide, I mean this is crazy what they are doing. Listen to House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy on Breitbart News Saturday. For now, Democrats remain opposed to any vote to protect babies once they are already born, instead pushing for opening common sense restrictions on abortion. But that's not the only area where the Democrat Party has veered far from mainstream policy into the realm of the extreme. A Green New Deal. The other major development in the wake of Trump's State of the Union address last week was the rollout by freshman Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, DNY, an openly devout socialist, of her so-called Green New Deal legislation. Once OCACO-Cortez and Senator Ed Markey, DMA, introduced the bill, nearly every Democrat running for president signed on within the first 24 hours. The introduction was panned by virtually everyone in the policy, and it is viewed as seriously flawed even by top elements of the left. It's so bad for Democrats that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, a Kentucky Republican, is mulling whether or not to just call a vote on the Senate floor on the Green New Deal to expose the Democrats' extremism. But it was no matter to the rising hard left of the Democrat Party, they signed on to it anyway. Senators Elizabeth Warren, DMA, Kirsten Gillibrand, DNY, Cory Booker, DNJ, Amy Klobuchar, DMN, and Bernie Sanders, IVD, all backed the deal, as did many other top Democrats. In the House, more than 60 Democrats hopped onto the bill without a second thought. It's kind of a marvel how in 1 month, this month-old new legislator has been able to develop a following that's now being joined by a lot of senior members of the Congress. Representative Mike Kelly, RPA, and an ally of Trump and critic of the socialist plan, told Breitbart News Saturday this weekend. They're all jumping onto a group of very aspirational socialist ideas. There's nothing new in these programs, they just bundle them all together into one resolution. It means nothing, but it's a talking point just to get people excited. But I got to tell you, I'm from Pennsylvania coal country, we're part of the Marcellus, shale, natural gas. I believe in all of the above when it comes to energy. But let's also rely on all of the below. We have tremendous stores of energy in our country right now. You talk about the internal combustion engine. If there was one thing that opened up our entire country from border to border, it's the development of the automobile. Listen to Rep. Mike Kelly, RPA, on Breitbart News Saturday. But the Green New Deal would essentially end the automobile as America knows it if the plan were actually implemented. And with so many high-profile Democrats, including many of the party's presidential hopefuls, signing up for the package as co-sponsors and supporters, they are essentially campaigning on ending the jobs of millions of Americans. I hope your listeners are reading the damage this Green New Deal would do. The damage it would do to our middle class, the damage it would do to our economy. McCarthy, the minority leader in the House, added in an interview on Breitbart News Saturday. It's not even a bill, I guess it's a resolution what they're talking about, but the Democratic frontrunners who are supporting this going to zero emission. Tell me how you're going to have cars? How would you have planes? How would you have jobs? The people it will hurt most is the middle class. You'd have to redo every building within the next 10 years. This is really when you listen to the new freshman Democrats, they don't even really call themselves Democrats. They call themselves Democrat Socialists. This is what the president in the State of the Union was standing up to. That there will never be socialism in America. But this is the battle of what I see going forward into the next election. It is socialism versus the freedoms we've fought for and understood this country to stand for. It goes against pretty much the core of what we believe. Donald Trump Jr., the president's eldest son, was even harsher during his speech at Monday night's rally in El Paso. Trump Jr., said from the stage to the thousands listening. That new class of Democrat socialists that McCarthy described as causing more serious problems for the Democrat Party as a whole outside of Ocasio-Cortez's extreme Green New Deal offering. Radical anti-Semitic views from at least two of them are presenting serious problems for Democrats nationally who are struggling with how to deal with a party that has veered into such extremes after spending years accusing the other side of promoting bigotry. Anti-Semitic tropes. While Ocasio-Cortez gets the lion's share of attention among the new clique of self-described Democrat socialists elected in the 2018 midterm election, it's her comrade Representative Ilhan Omar, DMN, whose anti-Semitic comments this week threw the Democrat Party for yet another wild loop. In a series of tweets late Sunday evening, Omar, a Muslim congresswoman from Minnesota who was once a refugee from Somalia before permanently settling in America with her family, bashed American politicians who support Israel as somehow being paid off by AIPAC. Critics immediately ripped Omar from all directions, including perhaps most interestingly from inside the Democrat Party. Chelsea Clinton, the daughter of former President Bill Clinton and failed 2016 Democrat presidential nominee Hillary Rodham Clinton, was the first high-profile Democrat to rip Omar. Omar played it cool in response to the former first daughter, attempting to blame Republicans for the problem. But unluckily for Omar, it didn't end Sunday night, and that initial response was far from enough to stop the bleeding. The Anti-Defamation League, ADL, on Monday ripped Democrats for not doing anything in response to Omar's anti-Semitic commentary. As did the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Representative Jerry Nadler, DNY. Representative Elliot Engel, DNY, the chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee on which Omar serves, a placement decision made by Pelosi and her team at the beginning of the Congress, also ripped Omar. Senate Minority Leader Senator Chuck Schumer, DNY, one of the most prominent Jewish members of Congress, said Omar's use of anti-Semitic stereotypes was offensive and irresponsible. The House Democrat leadership issued a joint statement ripping Omar's anti-Semitic tropes, as well. Pelosi even tweeted the joint statement from Democrat leadership on Capitol Hill, adding that she had spoken with Omar about anti-Semitism. It was only after all of that that Omar offered a sort of apology for her anti-Semitic comments, a pseudo-apology in which she again bashes McCarthy, essentially repeating the original attack. President Trump, asked about it on his way to El Paso, clearly did not think it was enough. And if what she did just a few hours after the apology was any indication, per the Washington Times, she was immediately at it again later the same day, retweeting more anti-Semitic commentary, this time with some attacks on Pelosi. Trump, asked on Tuesday for further thoughts on Omar, sees the burgeoning Democrat scandal to sow more division in Democrat ranks. The president said she should resign from Congress over her anti-Semitic views, or at least resign from the House Foreign Affairs Committee. The latest whirlwind for Omar that started Sunday night was hardly the first time she has been caught up in an anti-Semitic scandal, and she is not the only freshman Democrat socialist who thinks this way. Representative Rashida Tlaib, DME, another Democrat socialist and also a Muslim woman elected in the 2018 midterm elections, wrote for renowned anti-Semite Louis Farrakhan's Nation of Islam newspaper. In the 2006 column for Farrakhan's newspaper, Tlaib wrote an impassioned plea for stopping deportation of illegal aliens for what she deemed minor offenses, pushing for legislation that would protect illegal aliens. Farrakhan is a known anti-Semite who has publicly compared Jews to termites on Twitter. Tlaib, of course, is the Democrat who on the first day of the new Congress was in a bar celebrating being sworn in on Capitol Hill and was filmed saying, "We're gonna impeach the motherfucker," about President Trump. While Pelosi said she did not like Tlaib's use of foul language, she actually defended Tlaib. All of this extremism was known to Democrats and in the public sphere before this week, as McCarthy noted in his Breitbart News Saturday exclusive this past weekend before Omar's latest episode. If you have been watching and listening to what some of the new Democrat members have been saying and attacking when it comes to people of the Jewish faith and others, it's anti-Semitic, their words and their language, McCarthy said. When we had challenges on our side for different issues, you watched our leadership stand up to the responsibility and deal with it. Nancy Pelosi has not said a word. When you watch the new congresswoman come in and watch who her donors were in impeaching and calling the president names, Nancy Pelosi did not say a word. So that means she's supportive of these actions. Liz Elden has introduced a resolution in this process. And I have sat back and watched Nancy Pelosi given her an opportunity to stand up to her own members and the anti-Semitic action that they have taken and say it is wrong and put them on a different course. If she does not do something, we will take action on the floor. Blackface or Ku Klux Klan? Northam, the same Democrat governor of Virginia under fire for radical abortion comments, has been assailed for a racist photograph that appeared on his medical school yearbook page that surfaced in the wake of his abortion extremism. The photograph portrayed two men side by side in racist garb, one wearing blackface and the other in Ku Klux Klan robes. Some reports suggest that the photo came out because Northam's use of his history as a doctor to promote the abortion radicalism enraged his former medical school classmates. Northam originally admitted that he was one of the people in the picture but did not specify whether he was the man in blackface or the man in the Ku Klux Klan regalia. But later, as calls for his resignation mounted with nearly every national Democrat pushing for his ouster, Northam walked that back, claiming he was not either of the men in the photograph and that he did not know how it got onto his yearbook page. Even so, The Washington Post confirmed in its reporting that students at the medical school selected what photographs went on their pages and designed the pages themselves. Northam, in response to rising pressure and calls for his resignation from top Democrats, has dug in, refusing to resign. "This is the first time I have ever seen that picture," Northam, for instance, said in a recent interview with CBS News's Gayle King when she asked how it ended up on his yearbook page. "How could that be? It was on your yearbook page, Governor," King pushed back. "Well, I was shocked to see it," Northam replied. "I really believe if you look at the unpreparedness of me to react to this both on Friday night and Saturday, that really confirms that this is the first time." In the King interview, and in a prior interview in the Washington Post, Northam has attempted to frame the whole debacle as an opportunity to learn on race matters. He even told King he was born in white privilege. While the public may never know the truth about who the two men are in the photograph on Northam's yearbook page, or how it got there, the public does know thanks to Northam's first press conference on this matter that Northam did partake in the racist practice of wearing blackface. He admits that in the same year he wore blackface to a Michael Jackson-themed moonwalking dance contest and that somehow that absolves him from the whole mess. He further explained at that press conference that the way he darkened his face to wear blackface was with shoe polish. But Northam is not the only racial problem white Democrats in Virginia's old guard have. In fact, the number three in line for the governorship, Democrat Attorney General Mark Herring, has also admitted to wearing blackface in college. Interestingly, or perhaps all too predictably, Herring actually called on Northam to resign for doing exactly the same thing he himself admitted to. Trump seems to be getting a kick out of the whole mess surrounding the Democrats in Virginia, especially Northam. In his El Paso rally on Monday night, he noted that Northam's problems keep the focus off himself. Unluckily for the Democrats nationally, especially those in Virginia, this entire giant scandal for their party does not end there. Premeditated and aggressive alleged rape. Virginia's Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax has been credibly accused of sexual assault by two women, including one who accuses him of raping her. Dr. Vanessa Tyson accused Fairfax first, alleging he sexually assaulted her after consensual kissing spun out of control in a hotel room at the 2004 Democrat National Convention in Boston. Fairfax denied the allegations, but Tyson has, like Fairfax's second accuser, said she is willing to testify about the encounter. Fairfax has pushed for no public hearings. Then, following Fairfax's denial of the first accuser's accusations, a second woman, Meredith Watson, came forward alleging that Fairfax raped her in college at Duke in North Carolina. When Fairfax denied Watson's account, as he denied Tyson's account, Watson's attorneys fired back with a harsh statement. "Both of the women have retained counsel, and both are fighting for legal recourse and hearings about their encounters with Fairfax." All of this has much higher-reaching political implications for Democrats, throughout Virginia and beyond. In response to Northam's problems, for instance, former Vice President Joe Biden, a widely discussed potential 2020 presidential contender, called for Northam to resign and said Fairfax is who Virginia needs to lead it now. But Biden has not said anything in response to the Fairfax allegations. He has not said whether he believes Watson's or Tyson's accounts. He has not said whether he thinks Fairfax could effectively serve Virginia with these allegations hanging over his head. And he has not said whether he thinks it is acceptable for Herring, the Democrat Attorney General in Virginia, to have worn blackface like Northam. 52%. Trump blew away former failed 2018 Senate candidate Representative Robert Francis Beto O'Rourke's counter-rally crowd in O'Rourke's hometown of El Paso. Americans widely approved of Trump's State of the Union address. So, in his El Paso rally on Monday night, the president carried the same central message handed to him on a silver platter by the Democrats' missteps at the beginning of this new Congress of pledging that America will never succumb to socialism. Trump still has many hurdles ahead, from the ongoing negotiations over government funding for the border wall to China to North Korea to the unfolding situation in Venezuela to major policy fights with Democrats going forward. But Democrats are, for now, handing him exactly what he needs to win.